Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host, Devin.
Hey, hello. Hi there. Hi.
Hello, hello. On this warm June 19th afternoon.
Midday, which you normally never do.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah. Fortunately, it's actually, at midday, is cooler in my studio than it is at night, because it's had like the evening to cool down, and then it's like throughout the day it warms up and warms up and warms up. So it's not blazingly hot in my studio right now. So,
there you go.
All right, Dev, what do you got for us today?
It's not the heat, it's the stupidity.
Well, perfect.
Yeah.
It's, I did not know you were going to do that quote.
I know. I know, right? What was... Okay, yeah, so I was looking up SCA stuff and people talking about things that are said a lot, and apparently someone was quoted saying that, which I love. It's kind of... It's. I'm assuming they're talking about someone who fainted or got dehydrated. And someone's like, oh, it's so hot out here. It's the damn heat. And, you know, someone responding, it's not the heat, it's the stupidity. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, yes, obviously the heat's a part of it, but you've done something wrong if you're being, like, affected by it.
Yeah, exactly. To that extent. Of course, like, you know.
You're like, I'm assuming the person either was playing too hard or was drinking too much or that type of thing. It's just like, yeah, they're being stupid. They're hammered. And now they're like dehydrated.
Heat stroke and then dehydrated. Yeah. That's funny. So that was like quotes about the SCA.
Yeah. Or from quotes heard. Well, these were quotes heard at Penzic. And some were very, I don't know. Here's a duality thing for me.
All right.
I love the nerd stuff, but then I hate sometimes about how particular the nerds are about the nerd stuff. You know what I mean? It's like there becomes a seriousness to it or some type of, I don't know, but you know, I can't blame anyone for getting into something, but maybe it's like a weird, like, know-it-all-ish that I don't like.
Right. Yeah.
Or like, I guess it's another form of gatekeeping, which you always talk about, right? Like, oh, well, it should be done like this. And, you know, it's like I remember my first beer. That's what it's like.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That when I hear someone like that, I'm like, all right, nerd, shut up. I'll find someone else to talk to.
Right. Well, I have heard, or like through the grapevine and what I've seen and heard about Penzic, is that it's very not that way. Yeah, it's a very welcoming, very open, like everyone's happy to have you there. And you know, we did the one SCA, Society for Creative Anachronisms event, the bow making event. And everybody was super cool there. Like, there was none of that. It was all just like, oh yeah, come join. If you don't have a thing to wear, here's the thing. You know, you don't have, oh, okay, do this. you know, and they weren't like, like restrictive on what you could wear. Like obviously you had to have some type of tunic on, but you could wear like jeans underneath it. A lot of people were just wearing like black tennis shoes, you know, rather than some type of leather boot or whatever, you know? So right. I think the SCA is a little bit more lenient, on how like particular they are about the accuracy of what you're doing. It's more about just like, yeah. I think the passion behind it, you know, like being there, yeah. being open to be like willing to do stuff and not be critical of people.
Right. I feel like probably the most of the issues happen if once you try to like really, join up in the clubs, in the groups, but that's any group right. of people. There's going to be like snidiness and politicking and like,
yeah, you know, right. Yeah.
Especially when you have a rank, literally a ranking system, some type of royalty right. ranking system in your club. Mm-hmm. Then right. you know, there's that type of stuff. But I don't think I'd ever get that far into it. I just kind of want to go to events that I'd like doing, and then you know, stuff we could yeah. do where we could make stuff for it and make some costuming right, yeah. stuff and just show off a yeah. little bit and have fun and you know, eat and drink with people and have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that I think that I'm most drawn, the reason why I'm most drawn to that, these type of events is the nod back to like the time where all of these skills and things that we're developing on the channel and just in life, that when they were like needed, you know? So it's like, yeah, everyone has horn cups because, you know, a horn is shaped like a cup, and people have leather stuff because you could make leather, you know, you have things made out of steel and wood. And, you know, like you're just, I think having a time and place to use or like to have these things that I love making, it yeah. makes it fun. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. yeah. And there's a right. point of pride. Right. Like, oh, I made this whole outfit. I made this belt. I made this sword and dagger and, you know, and shoes. I made all these things. Look, you know, yeah, and you want to show off. It's the same reason why social media exists. But, like, this is like an in-person version right. of it, you know.
Yeah, it's like an all day or all week parade. It's like, hey, everyone's just showing right. off what they can do a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about, before we get back into SCA stuff, let's talk about the Wanderers group, where you did your first, really your first reenactment ever in front of normies.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, so the first like living history reenactment event was with the Norders Wanderers. Yeah, we were at the Celtic Fest, and if people have seen it, we did make a video. Devin walked around the event and got a bunch of good footage, so it's a nice like POV kind of walking around. And I love all the background music. Like the whole day we were there was just like bagpipes in the background, and there was the Highland Games going on, so the announcer has this like, great Scottish voice, so he's just in the background talking, and you know, it was fun. But yeah, so we did the event with the Njordas Wanderers. And again, the idea behind the Wanderers is that they're this like kind of traveling, trading, merchant-y type group, you know, or like, so we have come from the sea on a boat. Our group is maybe one boat or two boats or however many is depending on the people, you know, and we pull up on shore somewhere in a town and we set up our camp and we offer, you know, services like blacksmithing stuff and woodworking and, you know, trading for leather and goods and things that we've gotten on our travels and, you know, silver and whatever, whatnot. So the idea behind that is that there's somewhat of a freedom in what we can reenact, because the idea is that they're from a bunch of different areas. So the different personas of the different people in the group are not all just, you know, Danish or Norse or, you know, Scandinavian. It's not just Viking. It's like Irish and English and, you know, French and German, like that whole area, the whole North Sea area. So our persona, mine and Nicole and Corinne, is that I am a, let's see. It's like we're like Irish and Norse, so I think that it's Nicole was Irish and I'm Nordic, like I was traveling or something, and or like my, you know, my family and people came to Ireland and set up like Dublin was a you know, Viking town in Ireland, basically. Yeah. They set up that town and helped, develop these different towns around Ireland. So the idea is that, we were originally in Ireland where I met Nicole, but Nicole was, I think she's Norse. Like, she came over, or one or the other. I can't remember which one it is. We worked it out, but, so we're that kind of Irish and Norse together. So, but now we're traveling with the Wanderers, and I was doing blacksmithing stuff, which is cool. So, happy to, like, you know, offer my services and my, like, you know, not expertise, but my experience, I guess, as a blacksmith, and how that translates to just using, I guess, maybe simpler, less variety of tools. So, like, simpler tools and less variety. So, like, one or two hammers, a small stump anvil, a small forge made with soapstone sides and a hole, and these two bellows that you saw in the video that were created based off of, illustrations from a forge. And then Nicole and Corinne, you know, so I was pretty much doing that. Corinne would come over and help me doing some of the bellows work, or there was some, like, pelts and stuff down around. So she was telling people about what type of pelts they were and where they were from. And so the idea is basically people come through and they could just learn about that area. Right. And so everything that we're doing for the Wanderers is all historically based, historical research based. Whereas, like, the SCA event stuff is, you can kind of pick a persona and you can just, like, it's almost like a melting pot of things, right? You could throw in some different stuff and people aren't going to, it doesn't really matter. You know, people are like, that's fine. Right. You know, like, if you're generally from around this time and, you know, generally it's, you know, metal and leather and linen and, you know, wool, like, you're good to go.
Yeah. You have but the stuff for some the type of tunic, like, you put a tunic on, you're set.
Yeah. So actually, as an example, I was, we don't have any costuming yet. We have costumes and stuff that we wear for Renaissance, but nothing that's specific to, like a living history, like teaching demonstration. So when we got there, the group has a bunch of, you know, extra stuff that different people have over the years, or they just have different, like, amounts of garments. So they brought garments for each of us, for Nicole and Grant and myself. And so I had a wool, like wool pants and a wool top. Wool tunic. Mm-hmm. The top was, like, not short sleeve. I mean, maybe just, like, past the elbow, short sleeve. And one of the women in the group, Ash, she was, like, kind of looking at me when I got back, and we were talking about the different costuming parts we could put on, and, like, which type of belts were accurate, and, you know, things that we could carry. And she was like, well, she's like, you shouldn't have short sleeves, whether it's hot or not. Like, men just didn't wear short sleeves in this, like, you know, it wouldn't be a tunic. So she went, like, and got me another tunic that was a long sleeve tunic, but, you know, just a linen. So even like that, like, she was like, it just doesn't feel right, you know, for, like, for the time period and for what we're doing, like, you shouldn't be wearing, like, a short sleeve tunic. So, it's just trying to keep, like, what we're doing and what we're showing and, you know, things that were, like, you know, reenacting as accurate as possible. And it was fun. You know, one of the things that we did, you know, so basically just kind of set up around, I think it was 10 o'clock or something like that when the Celtic Festival opened on Sunday when we got there. So from then until 5, we were, like, you know, all of the modern stuff was kind of put away to the side, and you just basically acted your role. And we just did stuff and walked around and talked to people and, you know, hung out, and it was pretty fun. And then at one point, I think at about maybe 2:30 or 3 o'clock, we had a meal, like an afternoon, you know, meal that was made, like, sausages and cheese and all this different stuff that, and people were working on throughout the day to create. And so we all, like, sat down at the long table that they have set up there, different people were in different seats based off of, like, the way it would have done. So, Craig, who is the Jarl of the group, right? He's the leader. He was, like, in the middle on the side, and I was directly across from him because I was, like, the guest of honor, as it was our first time there. And then Nicole and Corinne were either side of me, and then his wife and daughter were on the other side of him, and then, like, going out to the end. So there would have been, like, same thing, like you were saying, like a status symbol, right? So the closest to the middle is the most highest honor spots, and then as you move out, it's diminishing in honor, whatever. But yeah, so to my right was another woman who it was her first time with the group, you know, so, like, we were there, like, in the middle, and then it was probably like 15 or so of us total. And we all just sat down and ate a meal, and we were talking about how some other groups will not do that, or if they're going to eat, they'll like go aside, like away from the group, and they'll eat and whatnot. And one of the things they like about the group is that like that's what would have happened. You know, it's like, so whether or not like people, we didn't like shut down, you know, it was like people could still walk through and see what was happening. But, you know, we were having like the afternoon meal and, you know, maybe for a half an hour or so. So it's not like we did it for, you know, hours, but it was fun. We had some drink and some food and hung out and talked a little bit and then went back to it. And yeah, it was cool. It was very easy. It was like, I didn't feel pressured to be anything or do anything. Like, cause obviously people come through and, you know, we're not an actual Viking group, you know, we're reenactors. So we have like very plain conversation with people like, oh, what are you doing? And like, and then I would tell them about the things I had and they'd be like, oh, are you working with iron? And I'm like, no, I'm working with modern steel, but I'm, you know, using tools that I would have, that would have been accurate to the time period and the forge. And, you know, that's all accurate. I was using just like wood chunks, charcoal chunks, not, you know, like wooden, just regular block wood chunks for the fuel for the forge. And yeah, it was fun. It was just the group is very welcoming and everyone was there, was happy to like help us and, you know, give us little bits of things to go under our costumes that would make it seem a little more accurate. And then just conversations throughout the day of like what we could add or like what things that we have already that could work. Like we made all of our own shoes. So we had our shoes and they were ready to go, but you know, like the types of belts we were wearing and the cups and things we were using. So, you know, the group is pretty particular, although they also are like, hey, if you have that, that's fine. Like if it's what you have today, like that's fine. You can wear it. Like it's not going to be, you know, but it's kind of like I was wearing, what's called like a ring belt, you know, so it's just a leather belt with a ring on one end. And you just like, it's what most medieval belts were. So you feed the leather through the ring and then you tie the knot around the leather belt and that's how it holds on. And Craig was saying how like ring belts wouldn't have been super common in our, that time, you know, and place. So, but he was like, that's fine. If that's what you have today, he's like, they were not, because I guess we're like a little bit earlier on, at least it wasn't. So, you know, it might be like a rope belt or a leather belt, but a different type of buckle clasp, you know, like, so it wasn't, as common, I guess, like ring belts weren't as common in the time that we're reenacting to, which is kind of that the late or like the 900s to 1000, that area, that kind of 100 year time span.
You know what's strange is, I mean, I guess we could talk to someone like our cousin Ben or someone who studies this stuff. You could probably get some good info from him too, just, you know, on your own, talking to him.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, he's read all the books and has access to all these documents and stuff that a lot of people don't, because he's...
Right, yeah, he has all the access to the Latin, you know, the the scrolls and stuff that he's read
like,
in books.
And he was saying same thing with, like, shorts and stuff didn't really exist and short sleeves. I mean, why is that? Is that because you had to wear something all year long, so you needed, like, coverage for any temperature? But I mean, it got plenty hot, just like it did anywhere else. And you wear those heavy, like, what did you do all summer? Why didn't you get, I guess they just got acclimated to long everything. But it's like, you would think you would be just sitting there in your underwear one day and going like, oh, this is nice, like your undercloth. And just like, why don't I make just a shorter version of the pant leg that you tell me no pants ever got ripped and they just seamed it like at the rip.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, this is nice. It's so breezy. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Maybe get some air on the nuts.
Maybe it's, I'm not sure. You know, like, obviously the climate is a little cooler. Like the whole North
Sea. But even, you know, they talk about all colder, like, but the, like Ben was saying, all medieval, which is like Spain and like you know, stuff near the Mediterranean, the hot areas.
Yeah, maybe it just wasn't the fashion. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Or maybe who knows? I'm just taking guesses. I'm sure Ben's done more research than us. I'm definitely sure. But it's like, maybe it was indecent to show, but they would do nude paintings of people. But you're thinking of like, maybe they just didn't paint arms and legs sometimes and just were like, yeah. Well. And a lot of these artists are like, dang, I didn't know you were going to like take everything I drew as like,
right. Right. Exactly.
As a text of how to build something. I just was putting a little wheel here and an extra cup here just because
I just gave artistic long license. Pants. Yeah. Right.
Cause I didn't want to draw the ankles. Like
I've had that thought too. I'm like, well, you know, like everything that the Wanderers are, you know, working, like using as reference, or it's all reference, right? It's everything that they can, like, right. Historically, they can show, okay, well, this is from this thing, or this is from this historic find, or this is, like, you know, from this documentation, or from these drawings, or paintings, or writings from this time period.
Right.
But what's to say, like, you know, there weren't other things, you know, I mean, right. So. But that's a different mindset, I guess. It's like, okay, well, if you're trying to show what we know and only reenact what we know, then that's what you do, you know? But
right.
I think if, for me, yeah, there had to be some, not had to, but you imagine there was obviously some variety, more than we know of.
Right, you know, just like there's, are, yeah. Just like there's style variety now, and we have style variety right. from place to place, and we still are all connected. Like, there had to be much more style variety between right. villages and towns and countries, for sure, just because you never saw what the other people were wearing.
Yeah.
If you but did, if you it was like two people. And you'd be like, oh, that's right. what the French wear. Because I met a French right. person in city. Like, that's the only French person I ever met.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just what the French wear.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can't have, like... It's somewhat naive to imagine that there was not more variety than we know of. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it just had to be. But also, if you think about, like, what we know, we have, you know, I guess, you know, if you look at, like, the cowboys, right, or something, you look at people who are, like, ranch hands, like, most people wear long garments. You know, maybe they're just out in the sun a lot, right? So it's like, or if you're farmers, like, a lot of the Vikings were farmers when they weren't warriors. So, you know, it's like you're out just in the sun
protection.
Yeah, exactly. You're always like, there's always brush and stuff around your legs. So, you know, to protect your legs and protect your arms. And maybe it's more of just like a utilitarian thing rather than a style thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, but yeah, you would imagine like when someone takes their shirt off, you know, if you're wearing pants and no shirt, like, oh, it feels so nice. You know, I'm sure they did that, right. You know, take their shirts, right. Take their tunics off and wash themselves off or whatnot, you know, go swimming and, you know, maybe, but like you said too, maybe it was just like a wealth thing. Maybe you only had a couple pairs, you know, a couple changes of clothes. So they were all just had to be like, whatever is the best, whatever the thing is that you could wear that would fit all needs. You know, and that's your, right. like, three changes of clothes. Like, two changes of work clothes and one nice pair. You know, that's, like, probably about it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, not like us. We can, like, you know, have... Like, I just went to the store the other day today and bought two more pairs of jeans and a pair of shorts, you know, for whatever, $40. Something like that. You know, it's like, okay, no big deal. My room is, like, full right. of piles of clothes and clean clothes and dirty clothes and... Yeah, well.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm sure you could do something like for your costume for Penzic. You know, I'm sure you could do like the tunic top and some type of like, you know, I don't know. You know,
my thing was, well, I was talking to a guy about it he's coming with me to Penzic. Mm-hmm. He had he was like showing me pants and stuff that had, you know, like a lot of them, like, it's like a style then where you could tuck it in your boot, so it's like tied up at the bottom of the pant leg, you know,
right?
Same thing for mm-hmm. shirts, you know, like tied on the sleeve,
right?
And that mm-hmm. that I'm not gonna do. So I mean, I'll do the kind of longer sleeve and longer pants, but they have to be open. I'm not trapping my heat in like at the end, you know. No way. Yeah. So I'm like, you can do that. I will have loose, kind of like yours. It was longer sleeve, but at least it was open. I mean, you could have tied it, but at least you had some, yeah. catch a breeze coming through every once in a while, something like that. And
yeah, and I had like a leather apron around my waist, and the one that I was wearing was one that like would have come up to a point, you know, about like between my pecs, like above my chest, and then the, like a rope that goes up around your neck. But I just had that flipped down. I was just wearing it around my waist, just a thin leather apron, you know.
And luckily for you, it was, you know, whatever. It was like 75 degrees that day.
It was so perfect. It might have been 80, but it was so breezy and like part in the humidity was low.
That breeze was
perfect. Yeah. I literally like didn't sweat all day. And that is a serious anomaly for me.
I know. You know, like, maybe a little bit, you know. Like, but it was beautiful.
It was perfect.
It was mainly that wind. But go check out the Celtic Festival video, POV, Viking for a Day video, a whole mashup of things. But we got some footage of Dustin working in his Viking blacksmith smithy, which was cool, and some of the guys like Craig and a couple of the other people kind of in the background. We want to do some more with them, so maybe we'll have that stuff coming up and have a full like look around and tour, because like you said, they don't have many more in the summer because they're all kind of warm.
Right, exactly, because all the, like exactly what we're talking about, all the clothes are too hot. You know, it's all wool, like wool and linen and long sleeves and long pants. And
we can convince them to set up, you know, one day.
Yeah.
Just have like, well, we'll just have, it's just like a cookout, but everyone bring your stuff and we'll shoot videos about it all. Like,
yeah, and we'll, you know, just in the fall,
invite people up to your property or whatever. So.
I said in the fall there'll be more events and stuff, so I'm sure we could, like, you know, work something into an event, too. Right. I saw some, like, looking at some pictures on the Wanderers Facebook page, and there's, like, you know, some stuff from when it's, like, February and December and whatnot, and everyone's, like, wearing furs, and, like, ooh, that looks awesome, you know, like, it's, like, cool, like, the more stuff you can put on the costume, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
But it'll be cool.
Yeah, so there's in the video there's that, and there's some bagpiping, and there's some I walked around just the different little vendors, and it's cool, a couple cool little things. I bought a book from that guy who was selling like Celtic fantasy books.
Right.
It was really nice, and I was like, sure, I'll buy a book. Like, I was gonna buy something here, so I got that book. That'll be cool. I'll talk about it if it's any good.
Good. Did you see the skull? The booth that had the horn cups.
I did not. Like, where was that?
Yeah, it was over near like that. You showed the booth that had the vendor booth that had the like the wood carvings of like Odin and stuff. And
it was
right to the left of that. And there was there was a guy, he was doing some like carving and stuff, and they had some cool stuff there.
I
bought a new horn cup because I, you know, lost mine during the shoot.
Yeah, you know, I looked over there. I almost went, but I don't know why. Maybe I just saw a carving I like the Viking carvings. I was like, ooh, I'll go look at that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's funny because I was looking to see if you were showing that, because that's the only thing that I bought, and that was at one point, I think after you guys left or something, Nicole and I and Corinne walked around a little bit. And and I forgot to bring any money or whatever. So I was like, I was talking to the woman, and the cups were exactly like the ones that we had. You know, so it must be ones that like are manufactured that people buy and sell. But so I ended up getting one that's slightly bigger, slightly taller than the one that I had, but it still fits in my little leather holster perfectly. So. Mm-hmm.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
It's nice. Great. $20
Was that?
Yeah. $20.
$20. Oh,
yeah. And they had a full variety of them, and she was like, "Yeah, you can choose whichever you want." So I was like, "Well, I don't have any money on me now, but I'll come back in like whatever 20 minutes. I'll bring back some cash." So I did, and I got it. That's great.
Cool. Yeah, yeah. I probably would have got it if I would have seen it, because I am looking for a cup. Speaking of, well, let me finish up about the video. So did some walking around. Then there was another group of like younger people playing. Not younger, I mean, like our age and maybe in their 20s, but they were playing, they had like a fiddle and a guitar and stuff, and that was cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was cool.
So some of their music, and then walked and saw some of the games, saw a guy toss something in the video. And then,
oh, yeah, that was great. It's like a chunk of metal on a chain.
It was perfect.
He
walked
up. Yeah.
and then saw some of the dog, sheep stuff.
Oh, yeah, the sheep dog, yeah. Yeah, that was cool.
The herding, the sheep with the dogs. It's just kind of general walk around, but it was such a beautiful day, and all the sounds were cool, and like there's music throughout. So I think it's a very cool, chill, interesting video.
And they had some tents set up with the different Scottish families, so that was kind of cool.
Clans,
that's like the guy, the buried the skeleton with all the armor on that you had in the video
on the
cover. Yeah, it was cool, the clans. And yeah, we went later and talked to them, and there was one of the clans, I forget, right out front, they had the map of Ireland, you know, and then a map of Scotland with all the family names and like where they were. And I walked up, and Nicole and Corinne and I were looking at it, and I was like, oh yeah, we should be like, you know, we should have our O'Hara name should be up somewhere in the Antrim, you know, area, which is the Northern Ireland. And so we like found it really quick, and then found it on the page, the family crest. And the guy was like, man, you guys found that really fast. Usually it takes people like minutes and minutes to like find their stuff. You walked right up. I was like, well, we kind of knew, obviously we know what our crest looks like, and we knew, like, I knew where generally we should be looking for our name, because they had all the like the last names on the map, and then surrounding the map were all the crests and the names that went with them. So
that's
pretty cool. But it was fun. We chatted with a few people, we walked around, and it was good. It was a fun day, and the video turned out really good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's a good time. So let's see, we got that. We're thinking about what to make for Penzic, so I don't look like a fool walking around.
Right. So you have a kind of an interesting thing, right, where you want to walk around and just be part of the environment with the right costuming, but you also want to get some video. So you have this like, you got to be, you're like making your gear appropriate to look right, but also then work as a cameraman, like on the kind of hidden cameraman, I guess.
Yeah. Because everything I can tell, there's if you're media, which I don't think YouTube channels are media, because people post stuff all the time. I think they're talking about if you're a news station or a Discovery Channel or something, you want to do a piece about it.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of rules for that, but there's, you know, so I didn't want to go through all that. So I'm just going to try to shoot what I can, and I'll feel people out. If people are getting weird, you know, then I'll go, okay, fine. I'll just kind of chill. But that's one reason, like we talked last week when Jim, briefly, we talked when he was on, making a staff that can also be a tripod.
Yeah.
So a walking stick where the bottom is a, you know, three-legged tripod thing. I can just because then you're basically standing right next to your staff, almost holding it.
Yeah.
And at the top is the thin black camera, which barely looks like a camera.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just, I'm just trying not to stand out as I do this stuff. And also, I'm not going to necessarily be getting up in people's faces unless they asked. I really want to get wide, long shots of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Wide, long length, not long, like as in telephoto, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just like time wise. Yeah. Like a long.
Yeah. Just yeah. At least, you know, a minute of each thing. Not that I'm going to show a minute, but or something goes on and get the whole musical right. performance.
Right.
If someone's
right.
doing something, capture it all and don't move around too much, because a lot of it's just people with their phone, like, scrambling around, and you really, there's not many that you get a good sense of what it's like. And every time I go to some type of event or I'm going to a place, or I always, you know, I'm like YouTubing like what it is, like even like right. anything like Blade yeah. Show, or you're going to go to a mm-hmm. resort or something, you know, I want to get a sense of what it's like, you know.
Right.
So I would have some nice just wide shots of different things, and then people talking directly to camera about what they're going to do that day and what their character's like, stuff like that, just to, and not be intrusive and not ask people a million questions, but just like get them talking to camera, then have them like show off their costume, and then just talk about, mm-hmm. hey, what are you up to today? Like, that's it. And then hopefully,
right.
I mean, I can prompt a little bit more, but hopefully enough interesting stuff comes out through that, you know?
Right. So, as far as like, so yeah, so you're making the video, but that's like one thing, but then just being there as your persona, like how much are you going to stay in persona, and like, what is your persona? Yeah. And then what are you telling people? You know, like, what are you going, like, are you going to come up with a name or like a background or.
Yeah. Like, I'm not sure. I mean, the first thing I made were these two wooden dice.
Mm-hmm.
So I do want to play dice games with people, like, if okay. they want. Like,
so you need some way to like hold those dice as well,
right?
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I drilled through the edges, through the so they can. I just need a leather strip that's, you know, buttoned together or tied gotcha. Together on one end, and yep. I can hang yep. them from my belt.
Okay.
All
right. Right. So you so you have the like the gambling thing.
Yeah, like, I don't know, you know, since I'm not a member and I can develop my story more, I thought it'd be more fun just to be like, my buddy Guy almost wanted to go as like bums, like bummy gambling vagabonds, you know?
Like, right, yeah.
Where you could actually add patches to your tunic just for fun, like it just right. looked a little rougher, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah.
And, you know.
I like the idea of being like, I mean, yeah, maybe the idea is like you travel from festival to festival and you're trying to like win money or, you know.
Yeah, you're like yeah.
It reminds me of the guy from Deadwood who was always like selling whatever, like bits of hair from the, you know, the scalped Indians.
Soap with a dollar in it.
Soap, yeah, right, yeah. Or was it a soap something? A soap on a... Soap with a something.
Well, one was maybe a soap with a coin in it, yeah.
Yeah, right. That's what kind of reminds me of that. Like, they're just, you know, just always around. You know, you always had those. You had the, like, the fools and the minstrels and the and the gamblers and the, yeah. I think that's fun. Like, you know, because then you can think about whatever, like, costume elements you have. Then you can think, okay, well, we're from maybe this time period, you know, like.
Yeah.
And think about your name. Think about, like, what you would have done. But I like the idea of that, just the kind of vagabondy traveling, you know, maybe you're following the different tournaments around or something, you know, like going to
yeah.
parties.
Yeah.
And
right. I mean, I feel like, yeah, it'll be something like that where, and we'll just like challenge people to games and stuff and have a couple rules. But I mean, it'll be simple. It'll be like, well, what we used to do camping, which we always had the most fun, was just, 2 versus 2.
Right.
And you each throw one die in order.
Mm-hmm.
So I roll, and each, because it just builds excitement. The first right. guy on your team rolls. He rolls a 3. Okay, that's decent. Then the other team rolls. He rolls a 2. All right, so right away you got something going. Right, there's excitement. And the next guy rolls. there's more excitement because he hits something big or something small. And then, the last guy, usually the fourth person who rolls, it's usually really exciting because, you built it up. And then you get on each other, and you're like, you can joke with each other and be like, stop rolling, like rolling ones and stuff. Like, what are you doing? real simple rules, stuff like that. Yeah. And then,
right.
And then, I'd be like, just give people rules up front and we can challenge for money, like something simple, like a dollar, or if they have something to trade.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm sure people might have a little something, like, oh, I've got this, or some food, or some mead, or this little trinket, or something, that in. Like, it'll just be, I'm just going to try to make sure it doesn't, like, because also I don't want to get too much attention either, even though that'll bring attention.
Right. Yeah, right.
I just don't, I don't want to break taboos, even though I know there's plenty of wildness that goes on there.
Right.
And like partying is half of it. And that many people drinking, I'm sure there's a lot of debauchery going on that's much more offensive than me rolling a dice game for a dollar, like at play.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But, I don't want
ragers.
Yeah. I'm not going to. If people want to play, there's always going to be people who want to do stuff like that. And they'll just come up and then I'll join people. You can tell if people are interested, just like I've always done. If people are standing around and looking, like, hey, you want to play? Oh, you got a buck? Come on, let's play. I'll roll. And I'll let you know. You can pick. Because the dice are the way I just kind of randomly sanded them and grinded them and stuff.
Right.
To make them look older, but they're not shaped perfectly, obviously. And there's cracks in one of them and something.
Right.
So it's like, look, you pick the dice and you pick the partner.
Right.
Like, I'll be your partner, or I'll be you and your partner against me and Guy. Just so it's we're not tricking anyone.
Right.
Just people know, like, look, you pick the dice you guys want to throw and we'll.
Yeah. Or like,
and if you want, I'll buddy up with you. Like, and we'll root together. Like,
right. Yeah. Or, if there are four other people who want to play, right, you can encourage them, like, hey, here, play a game. Here, I have the dice. Right. I'll tell you the rules. This is how you play. Right. Then they're playing against each other. Right. So it's like, you're not taking their money, swindling them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that'd be fun. I was thinking about, like, what type, we talked briefly about, like, some new stickers or something with, like, maybe the AOC logo with a little bit more, like, serifs or something to make it seem a little older, and we could do it, like, part of, like, a flag. Maybe it looks like a flag that's kind of waving in the wind and the AOC logo is on it. Or something like that. Or it could just be more of, I think it'd be fun, for you to have some more stickers and stuff, that things you can give out, especially if people are asking about the channel, what you're doing. You're like, oh, here's a sticker that talks about the Art of Craftsmanship. We have the Maker Switch sticker. We have a bunch of stickers that you can go. But yeah, I think it'd be fun to do some that are like SCA specific. Yeah.
I was thinking we could laser etch them on those little leather patches like Chris Cash gave away.
Mm-hmm.
Then it can be iron on or sew on, whatever they want.
Right. Yeah.
And just, maybe the AOC logo, but around the edge of the leather patch is some type of Celtic or Viking or medieval banner thing, just around the edge to make it look a little fancier.
Right.
Okay. And it's also like a card to give out if anyone does, is on camera.
Right.
You can hand it to him. Hey, this is, thanks for being on. Here's this. This is our channel.
You could also do when you go to the Renaissance Festival and you do the hammer and you get like the little, if you have a hit a certain amount, you get the leather disc with the star in the middle on a lanyard. Oh, yeah. You could give out lanyards with the AOC logo on it. Be like, hey, here's another thing. Like, you won the game or whatever. Like, that would be kind of fun. You could have a bunch, like wearing a bunch on your neck. Be like, psh, psh,
yeah.
Like, giving them out. Yeah, it'd be fun to, I think it's kind of a good idea to have some swag to give out that's just like, drives people back to the channel, but without being like too invasive or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and you know, not like a normal card. It'll be something like leathery, or something hangs there.
Right.
It's a lot of different camps, a lot of different people. So,
right,
you know, some people are gonna want to have fun and play games, and some won't. And that's
It's just gonna be how it is. We could make some like keychains or whatever. That might be kind of cool. You know, so it's just the leather with a split ring on the side or whatever. I'm trying to think, that wouldn't be too hard to make, and it's something that, you know, people could put on something. I'm just trying to think of like what, you know, if we're gonna give them something,
you can hang it.
Yeah, right. You can hang somewhere or something or whatever. You know, if we're gonna give it away, it should be something that can, you know, if it like just a leather card. I feel like people would just toss it. You know, be like, maybe, oh, just another card. You know, what do you do with it? You know, it's like it doesn't have a purpose. So like maybe whatever we make, it has like some type of purpose. You know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you can maybe punch a hole in them and put a little.
Yeah, a little metal lanyard or something. Yeah, or a rivet or something. Like that would be. I think that's easy enough. Yeah, that would be fun. I think that's kind of cool. I like, and I also like the idea of, you know, having something that's made that's interesting that you can give out, right? Because then, again, same thing. It just drives people back to it. It's like, oh, okay, here's this cool thing that like is interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for you. Like, I'm definitely getting more and more jealous. Like, I want to be part of the persona, but you know, it just doesn't work out with the timing this year, unfortunately. Yeah. But we'll make the walking stick tripod. I think that's fun. Did you already order the tripod legs?
No, but okay. I have them. Yeah, I think I have the ones I want.
Okay. Yeah, I was thinking for the top. You know, depending on how we want to mount the camera to the top. Obviously, it's got the normal screw-in base. It could screw in like a normal tripod, but
yeah,
you know, if we had something where it kind of fits into a thing or something, you know, so the top of it can look like a normal walking stick.
I think that maybe. Well, I think we should just have a screw-in base for how it should hold, you know, be held.
Right.
And you can't really put much around it because then you're blocking all the mics, you know?
Yeah, right.
Like, at first I was thinking that, like, you could almost encase it in something, have, like, a wooden thing around it so you really don't know. But then then there's, I think there's, like, four or five mics on the thing. I don't want to, like, have a weird, like, in a can sound, you know?
Right. I guess whatever we make, you know, maybe the top of the staff can just be an interesting shape or whatever, you know, and, like, carved or turned or painted. And then just a screw insert on top. Go ahead.
I was thinking you could have a topper with a screw with a, you know, a receiving, a female end, just like the camera has. Yeah.
Right, yep.
So a wooden topper with that I could have on when I'm not using it. And it could even be some type of black wooden block carved into something that almost looks like the camera.
Right, right.
So when you switch it out...
Yeah, it's not too far off.
It's not far off. So it could be something with like almost a... I mean, it could just be a rectangle block at the top as just something that looks decorative.
Right, or it
could be something carved into something that's almost has like a neck like the camera does, you know, and it could, you wouldn't know. And people would just think, you know, 1 second, I'm using it as a stick and you see like the black topper and then I've switched it out and it's like the camera.
Yeah, right. That's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. So have whatever the topper is, it's like, you know, a dark shape that's tall and cylindrical or whatever, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So it fits it generally. Nice. I think that's a good idea. And then, you know, I know you talked about having some type of leather bag or something that you could keep the camera in and whatever other little things or whatever. So I definitely think that would be fun to make and kind of an interesting way to highlight the new sewing machine as well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll try to reach out to some leather companies, get some sponsorships. Be like, hey, you want to doing some leather stuff with the new sewing machine. So, but yeah, I think that'd be fun. And then, whatever other, I think, I know we talked briefly about like, if you want some type of knife or something to go, you know, on your, with your kit, like that might be fun to make something, since these events you can actually like wear real stuff, you know. They're, it's like the SCA is definitely like open to having basically real weaponry and stuff, and it's more like the different areas and different states and stuff have different laws, but I'm sure you can have, you know, a certain dagger or something like that that would be cool, that you can, like, if there's something that you see that you want, that we can make on the channel, make something real. So
yeah,
that'd be fun too.
Yeah, man.
Cool. Yeah. I guess what the last thing I would mention is that I have a bunch of stuff posted now on the Art of Craftsmanship outpost, the AOC outpost on Etsy. So if people are interested in buying some stuff, I have the leather awls that I made, they're there. All the additional Viking eating spikes that I made are up on there, and then a bunch of S hooks and then the Viking knives, as the EDC knives, as well as the leftover sheep shear knives. I have the 4 sheep shear knives as well. So a full range of prices of things there. If you want to head over, anybody wants to head over to the AOC Outpost on Etsy, you can check it there. Also, if you go to Instagram, I have some posts about it, and are in the bio, there are links, and the links will take you right to the page as well. So I've sold 2 knives and a set of hooks so far. So happy with that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, man. Cool. All right. You have any recommendations this week, Dev?
Well, I started watching the House of the Dragons back on.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Well, it's back on. And I watched, yeah, they're also putting out the behind the scenes like the same day the new ones come out.
Oh,
and cool. If you haven't watched that, I think it's called The House of That Dragon Built, something like that. It's very close to it.
Oh, nice.
But, I mean, they've got like a half an hour episode of behind the scenes for every episode. And it's all about
them
making stuff, and like really they go in depth to like how they made stuff. And it really gives you an appreciation for how much work they put into it, and all the people making these huge sets, and these, like, there will be these beautiful things that you barely see, like a map or something, or something, piece of furniture, but they've worked, you know, months on it.
Right.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So watch the behind the scenes stuff if you're interested in that at all, because it's there and it's great.
Nice. Right on. I have been watching, like, rewatching the Vikings series on, yeah, I think I may mention that, but like, it's just really good. There's a crazy episode where they kill this one guy who was basically like betrayed, and they you know, captured him and eventually ended up killing him. But they do it in this way that's called a blood eagle, where they cut his back open and they chop his ribs away from his spine, and then they take out his lungs and they put them up, or they like flip his lungs up on his shoulders, and they're supposed to represent like the folded wings of an eagle. It's crazy. And they like work through the whole scene, like they show it. It's wild. Obviously they're shooting from the front, so you don't see like his back all exposed and stuff, but you see just like the guy, like the brutal, like the axe and blood and stuff, and like he's there. And the idea is that this is like this crazy way to die, but if you survive long enough through the whole thing and you don't scream out in pain, then you can get into Valhalla. But if you do, you don't get into Valhalla. So
damn.
It's wild. But I think that's like the second season, and the episode's just called Blood Eagle. But the show Vikings is just interesting in general. I like it's cool. It's obviously like loosely based off of history, yeah, based off of like the epics with Ragnar Lothbrok and his family, and his kind of rise to fame. And, you know, he was one of the first, or like the documentation of Ragnar is one of the first people to travel across the North Sea to England and find a way to use a compass a sundial compass and stuff. And so they kind of loosely based off of history, but
yeah,
it's a good series. And I like the characters. They build up the characters well, and yeah, it's just a kind of a cool look into that time period. So if someone's interested in, you know, a persona that's a Viking persona. You can kind of look into that time period. So they get a lot of good things with like the amount of people and the war, that the type of the war they do, and the weapons, but then also the gear and the family life and the living styles and the farming and stuff. So
that's cool.
Nice. Cool.
So yeah, two show recommendations this week.
There you go.
Cool. All right. Well, hopefully we have a couple more guests lined up. Patty Brooklyn shared our show last week with Jim, and she was excited about the timber in. I know Patty, she's always one to Patty Gilstrap, but her Instagram is Patty Brooklyn. So I reached out to her earlier last year, and she wasn't able to join us at the time. So I want to try to reach out to her and get her back on. But we have some other people coming back on. We got Evan Watson, the hand engraver. We got Noah from Smiling Wolf Workshop. A couple people you've reached out to. So we'll have some fun guests up. And then hopefully sometime in the next month, we'll get a video podcast up on the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun. And yeah, so I'm excited to do that. I think that'll be kind of interesting to have that as part of the mindset while filming, you know, it's like somewhat interacting with the camera, but you know, like it's a different mindset when you're on camera, not that you have to interact with the camera, but you know, it's almost like it's a audience, you know? So yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you guys can find more information about all the different guests and guests that we do have on the podcast on Instagram, at The Art of Craftsmanship, where I've usually post stuff about that. And then also The Art of Camera Guy, which Devin posts stuff about his journeys and what he's doing, you know, post some stuff about the dice. That was fun. And then, head over to YouTube, check out the new video, the Celtic Festival video, and you can see some images and some video of the New Order's Wanderers group, and you can see me working in the forge and some of the other people we're doing around the group, but then also Devin's kind of walk around the festival and check out all the fun stuff with the Celtic Highland Games and the sheepdog trials and then the vendors. So it's a good time. And then let us know what you think, because again, these are videos that we enjoy doing, but they're a little bit different than what we normally do. So we're kind of just like taking you guys on the different adventure type stuff that we do, as well as working in our normal videos. And then for people who want to support us further, you can always head over to patreon.com/outofcraftsmanship, and you can support us there. And for all those people that do, we really appreciate it. It's people who want to just help, you know, support what we do, whether that's Patreon or support on the channel, comments and likes, and then now with the AOC Outpost on Etsy, all those things help to support, and just kind of, you know, we know that people out there like what we do, and so we appreciate the support. So if you do help us out and support us, thank you so much. And everybody else is listening, that's also a way of support, so we appreciate you guys too. Alrighty, well, that's it for now. Devin, it's always a pleasure. Okay. Everybody else, thank you guys so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.